Welcome to the Conquer Your Draft podcast, where fantasy champions are made. Welcome back to the Conquer Your Draft fantasy football podcast. I'm Josh, and with me as always is Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm fuming. Like, I've been waiting to record this for a week. I can't believe that news that we're going to talk about, like, we're going to get to it, came out, like, what, hours after we recorded, or the next day?
Yeah.
I think it was the next day, right?
No, it was the next morning, yeah.
Okay, so our episode just comes out, and this news drops. And so I had read something prior to it coming out, being like, oh, reports are saying this, but it wasn't from, like, a big source, so I was like, whatever. And then I saw it, like, minutes later, and started freaking out. And then you texted me, and, like, of course, like, you were like, did you see it? And I'm like, of course I saw it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, are you kidding me? I have so much to say to talk about it. We chatted a little bit about it. We texted back and forth, but I feel like we both have a lot to say about this deal.
Well, yeah, because my initial reaction, well, I shared with you my initial reaction, and then it got even worse when I read what the details were, because I assumed it was...
Yes. Because that's important. You didn't know the details right away.
No. And when I saw draft
when you texted
picks,
me the first
plural,
time. Yes.
I thought it was, okay, like the Bills got a haul. Okay, makes sense. No. I stand corrected.
No, it wasn't draft picks plural. It was one terrible draft pick. And then there were plural going the other way. Like, it was so bad. So when you first texted me, already not, you weren't on board for it. You hadn't even gone into the details. I had. I thought we were on the same page. And then later you texted me after you found out the details. And you even jumped another level of being like, what is going on? Like, it was such a crazy day of emotions. I'm so mad about it. I have so much to say.
Well, you know what? Why don't we just... We've got a lot to dissect in this episode, a lot of anger for you to work through, so why don't we just dive right into it, and you can kick us off on Stephon Diggs.
All right, so this is the big news here, that the Houston Texans have acquired wide receiver Stephon Diggs, plus a 2024 sixth-round pick, a 2025 fifth-round pick from the Buffalo Bills, in exchange for a 2025 second round pick. Josh, that pick isn't even in this year's draft. The Bills gave up a pick they had in this year's draft. Plus six. So it's Diggs, a sixth and a fifth to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second round draft pick. What? He had to go that bad? That's my first thing. He had to go that badly that you were like, we got to get him out of here and get nothing for him. You're telling me there's not another team in this league that didn't already have like two up-and-coming wide receivers, a team strapped for wide receivers with cap room, because there's a couple out there still shopping around and looking, that wouldn't have given you something a little bit more for Stephon Diggs. I cannot believe the terrible return, even if it was a second and a sixth and a fifth, like they got a couple extra picks, I'd be like, mediocre, but like at least it's not this bad. You gave up two draft picks just to get rid of the guy. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that to me tells me, yeah, he did need to go, that they were willing to give up all that for a not amazing pick. Like a good value pick for next
year. You're going to get a player who could and probably will start for you in a second round. Like, that's realistic. You can get a starter in the second round in the NFL. So it could turn into something. Okay. There's so much to dissect here, right? For the Bills, how can you look at this team now and say anything other than they're taking a step back from the season this year?
I don't have an answer. I'm expecting a draft day move to get up and get one of the top receivers, because that's the only way this makes sense to me.
Well, I came up with another scenario, but unfortunately, the Bills, apparently, according to everything I've read, they're in such strapped for cash mode when it comes to the salary cap, that they can't make a huge, huge deal. But the only way it makes sense for me is they turn that second next year, or they give up their second this year or something. They give up a pick this year, so they got the pick next year to like kind of balance that out. So they got to give up some picks this year and move up and take a big receiver. That's one. Scenario two I threw out there was, what about T. Higgins? Who wants out of Cincinnati, serviceable receiver, probably could turn into a number one if he didn't have someone like Chase around. Like, we all agree he's got talent. Maybe that is another scenario that I could see. Even if the Bills, in a package deal, got back Tank Dell or something from Houston, I'd be a little bit more like, oh, I see where they're going with this. Like, they're adding youth, they're adding younger receivers, they want to grow it. But what are they doing here? They've got Josh Allen in his prime years, right? Like, I think we agree. He's a top five quarterback. This is his prime years. And what weapons does he have right now?
He has Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel, who played with the Commanders last year, who's okay, can catch a football, but is not flashy at all. And then what? He's got Dalton Kincaid, who had like a pretty good rookie year, but was a little up and down. Dawson Knox, who, again, has been up and down his whole career, but people say he's a serviceable tight end. So you've got two tight ends that are like fine. Together they make one, and you've got Samuel. And that's it. Davis is gone.
That's it,
Diggs is now gone. We know they're not going to play James Cook at running back. It's not like this team's going to suddenly become a run first team. So he had to go that bad, I guess. He had to go so bad. Something must have happened. Locker room issues, issues around the guy. We know he has an attitude. He had to go so bad that you got to move on from him. You got to get him out there. You got to get nothing for him, because the Bills, they're not a Super Bowl contender going into next year.
All right. As a Bills fan, you don't believe that they're a contender.
Do you think they are?
No,
it took too long.
Not.
So it's got to be
probably
long. Not. Yeah, like that's the thing. It took you too long. I'm going to have to edit that down to make it a better, cleaner cut, because this is an audio medium and you're going to keep giving me these extra things.
Well, I was just trying to think if there's a world that maybe Josh Allen can just put the team on his back and go, but I mean, he can only run so much there. Yeah.
So Lamar Jackson couldn't do it, right? Like, as much as Lamar Jackson's a fantastic quarterback, he couldn't do it, right? He couldn't do that. He didn't put the team on the back and won them a championship. He's not yet done it. They're bringing in extra weapons for him. They're balancing that team out. They've got different pieces here and there, but he can't do it. And he's had Mark Andrews his whole career. So who's really done it? Patrick Mahomes? Is that it?
Yeah, Mahomes. Brady.
So Josh Allen is, we agree, a top five quarterback. But I'm not delusional. He's not Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. He might be in that next tier.
I think you could make that argument if he could pull it off.
If he could pull it off, yes. But again, I think Josh Allen's a fantastic quarterback. As far as I'm concerned, he's still a solid pick in fantasy. Because he can hurt you with your legs. He could throw the ball to multiple people, which they're going to have to do. But losing that weapon, that was your touchdown maker, your big play guy, your guy who you're like, yeah, listen, he has an attitude. Things happen. The guy's getting you 70 plus yards a game that you have to now replace, which they've done nothing. And again, I get it. I get that there's things we don't know about. But as a Bills fan, what frustrates me is it's clearly taking a step back because you didn't do anything else. If they had gone and picked up something else where it's like, oh, they signed. So I think someone you brought up, Josh, was Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown. If they had signed Marquise Brown and then traded Diggs and draft pick to get like Tank Dell and a lesser draft pick. So they had to give up stuff because of the youth of receiver. Then I'd look at this deal and be like, okay, the Houston Texans are going with a 1-2 punch of Collins and Diggs, and the Bills just added Marquise Brown. They've got a young receiver in Tank Dell. There you go. But they didn't do anything during free agency. All they did was lose players, because I guess they're in such terrible financial state. I don't know where all their money's going, but they don't have enough money to pay certain people. And you're right. The only thing that salvages this is big draft day deal. They move up and they take one of the top wide receivers in a clearly wide receiver heavy draft.
Yeah, that's the only way I see this, I guess, making sense to me in the long term. I'm just looking at the Bills' salary cap. So they've got $4 million worth of room.
Which is
they have the
not much.
Four, one, two, three. They're the fifth least in the NFL currently. So,
and where's all this money going? Like, I get they have a good defense, and I know they still have a couple decent defensive stars, even though they lost a couple. But where is this money going?
Well, Josh Allen has a $30.3 million cap hit. Tre'Davious White, cornerback, has 16. And then Von Miller, defensive end, has 15. So between those three players, that's over $71 million.
Which the no, Miller 30, contract
30, is 30, 61 million. I can't do math.
The Von Miller contract really hurt them because he's done nothing. And I think White is going to be released or has been released and is going somewhere else, isn't he? Didn't I hear that somewhere? Maybe that's just a rumor.
No, I thought that right now he's still with Buffalo.
Maybe there was
he could be going somewhere. I don't know.
Let him go, but again, yeah. But injuries have plagued him. All the talent in the world, but injuries have plagued him. So like, there's two deals right there. Josh Allen, I think he's worth the money. I'm not going to say he's not, but there's two players I would say right there that are really eating up a lot of salary and they don't play that much.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for just three players, and two of them are defensive players who haven't really. Well, I guess White has been a difference maker, but yeah, you're right. Von Miller hasn't been.
Yeah, I would say White, when he's healthy, is a difference maker, and that defense is still fantastic. Like, the Bills have a great defense. They're a defensive-minded team. They're strong on the D side. I'm not going to discredit their defensive stars who are great. It's just defense can only get you so far. We've seen that time and time again. You've got to score touchdowns. You've got to get points.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have the offense to counterbalance it, ask the 49ers.
Browns, 49ers. Like, we see this happen. And I think that for the Bills, I mean, we need to talk about the Houston side of this, because even for fantasy, I think this is a bit of a mover and shaker, this deal. Because Diggs goes to a crowded receiving core to begin with, and makes it even more nebulous and crowded. And you lose a receiver that maybe you're thinking like, yeah, you know, if I can't get the top three or four, Diggs is a good next choice. I think he drops down for me.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does for me. All of them kind of drop down, because they're all going to kind of feed off of each other.
Yeah. Because now you got three of them. Yeah.
But now, that being said, I think that moves Stroud up.
Oh, it does. Stroud, I think, is in a fantastic position. If he can not have a sophomore slump and really come in firing next year, I think they put him in a position to have a veteran tight end, a star wide receiver with your two up-and-coming young wide receivers who are great. They've really stabilized that running game. Oh, I think Houston's a team to watch. Now,
and a veteran running back.
Oh,
yeah, they got the ground game to rely on too, Joe Mixon.
Strong, solid ground game. Core young receivers, even if Diggs doesn't work out, they can cut him, they can get rid of him, and they still have two others who are solid. So
that was the other thing with this deal, is they basically terminated his 3-year remaining contract, so he's only with them for this year. So if he sucks, they leave him behind. If he's good, then they can sign him to whatever contract they want. So kind of get an incentive on their side for Diggs to play as his best to try to get another contract after this. Versus, you know, he shows up and, oh, well, I'm here for 3 years. Like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Well, no, like, now he's playing to get paid. So they're probably going to get the best version of Stephon Diggs that they're going to get. And for whatever reason doesn't work out, injuries, attitude, whatever, they can leave after the season and they're still up the two draft picks that they also got.
At the end of the day, it makes sense just team-wise, because there's not as much risk as it may seem for Houston, but definitely for fantasy in the receiving core, it goes, okay, all three of these have to drop down a bit, because you don't know who's going to be featured. You don't know who's going to be the main one. And I think Houston still good. I think Joe Mixon's going to be a good fantasy choice. And I think, like, to your point, CJ Stroud, you got to bump him up your list now because the weapons he has are incredible.
Yeah. I think you could, you'll have to call your shot on the receivers, which one you think is going to end up being the best out of the three of them. But definitely CJ Stroud is now up in my books just because this offense is so powerful, at least on paper. Like, going into the season, we expect very good things from this offense, especially after what we saw last year with less weapons.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's it is interesting. But I think the impactful thing to me is when you look at receivers, I just don't think Diggs can be counted near the receivers he was last year. If you get my drift. I think he drops almost a tier, if that makes sense. Like, instead of the top, I don't know how I would even tier it at this point, but if I'm looking at the top receiver lists, like on Sleeper, one of those apps, like, Diggs can't be in the top five right now. He drops to, like, a different tier because, unlike Jefferson or even like the Puka Nacua situation, like, you know, the CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, like, you know they're going to get huge points. I just think Diggs it's an unknown situation for him. He's getting older anyway. So there's a lot of questions for me there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Real quick, just before we switch topics in the news, those three players in the salary cap, I just did some quick math. They account for 24% of the team's salary cap. Just those three players.
Yeah.
So that's where all your Buffalo Bills money is going.
Yep. It's a lot. It's a lot and a couple players.
Yep. Running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire has re-signed with the Chiefs. I think it's pretty clear now he will be the backup to Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think that really impacts Isaiah Pacheco's fantasy value. I think you can probably still view him, at least in my opinion, as a top 10 running back going into this season. After the tear he went on.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time placing him at the moment, but I would also say, if I had to pick, I would roll the dice and say, yeah, right now he's going to end up in my top 10.
Yeah, I think low top 10, but top 10.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I do think that, he's an 8 or a 9 or somewhere around that area. But I definitely think that he won't be impacted by this kind of deal. No.
Then there was some other news that has been coming out over the past few weeks now regarding another Chiefs player, Rashee Rice. So he was involved, or has it been established he was there?
It has not been established to this.
Okay, but it was his a car owned by him.
That's right.
That had, I think, 11 grams of marijuana in it, was involved in a multi-vehicle collision in Dallas. And as of today's recording, April 10th, an arrest warrant has been issued for him, which would make me assume he was there. Yeah. If they're issuing an arrest warrant, he was there or was in some way involved. Maybe not as the driver, but was there. Otherwise, I don't know what the arrest warrant would be for.
Right. Yeah, I would assume that. I mean, they haven't announced anything publicly there, but I think that's the assumption. This is such an interesting situation. I mean, obviously, we need to see it unfold and what happens. But in terms of the Chiefs, who already, I feel like they were looking at Rice saying, like, okay, young up-and-comers, some chemistry here, more trustworthy in the backfield. In the receiving corps. Can he become this receiver that we can count on while still young, while still cheap enough, I guess? Like, not going to cost you, like, everything. And now it's, like, another receiving situation for them. Ever since Tyreek Hill is gone, it's like, okay, Kadarius Toney can't catch a ball to save his life. Rashee Rice getting in this hot water situation. Can't trust any of the receivers. It just seems like it's one thing after another, but it doesn't make me change my opinion on the Chiefs and Mahomes, which is the difference of what's going on in Buffalo.
Sorry, I'm just pulling up here. So he did admit to that he was driving, and He's facing one count of aggravated assault, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and six counts of collisions involving injuries. So that, obviously, until that's dealt with in court, it doesn't really mean much for the NFL, but that's going to be a looming specter over him moving forward for yes. both the Chiefs in the actual real NFL and for fantasy.
Well, yeah, for fantasy, I mean, you got to be cautious about picking him, and he might have been someone you felt like you could get later in the draft that's going to have high value because he's on the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm,
because I don't think he's going to be looked at quite the same way as some of these other receivers. But you know, with Mahomes, that's a high scoring offense. So I feel like
they showed a connection last season.
They did, yeah. And I think he's the type of player that you can kind of get so cheap in the draft and yet will give you like a pretty solid bang for your buck, which is the way you like to draft, is what's my value. So I think he has to drop. Like you just don't know with these situations, legal situations, you never know what's going to happen. If a player is not available to the team for a certain amount of time, if they then even come back, what they're like, you never know. Yeah. Certain players have still not recovered. So, yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be a question mark throughout the summer and what stance the NFL takes on it. Usually they wait and see, you know, how things shake out in the courtroom before they really take a stance. So he might be fine for this season. It might be next season that the other shoe drops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But just something to keep an eye on, and I'm sure the Chiefs will be too, because if he's going to miss a significant amount of time, like, you're absolutely right, you not only do you not have them for the time that they're missing, you have no idea what quality of player you're getting when they come back. Like, let's look at Deshaun Watson as a prime example. He missed all that time, he came back, and it was terrible. It was genuinely awful.
Yeah, not good at all.
No, and if you spent a draft pick on him hoping that he was going to come back and hit the ground running, you were severely disappointed. And we see that all the time, unfortunately, whether it's coming back from injury or coming back from any extended leave of absence, it takes a while to adjust to the NFL speed. And if you're already missing half the season, then you're not only are you 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was, behind in terms of chemistry, in terms of production, everything, you're just 6 or 8 weeks behind game speed. You haven't you might have been practicing for whatever amount of time that you were allowed to, because a lot of time you're not allowed to practice for a certain portion of that. But you're now going up against guys who have been at game speed for 8 weeks now. You're coming in flat foot, and it shows, unfortunately, and it hurts you. For now, some guys can turn it around pretty quickly, and it only takes a week or two, and then they look like they're back to normal. Perfect. A lot of the time, though, it's the rest of the season.
Yeah, and it just doesn't happen that often. And I think we just have too many examples recently, like you're saying, of people just, the players not being able to get back to game speed fast enough. Or coming in slower and not, you know, eventually maybe making an impact, but quite a bit later. And it just becomes a risk. Like, so suddenly you have a player like this that goes from being a nice kind of late pickup gem that you might be able to get to being like, well, you kind of have to wait and see to begin with. And now you're taking a risk if you draft. And does he become maybe a waiver wire pickup later? That kind of thing. Like, I just think in my mind, he went from, oh, I could steal him later and get something good out of it, too. I'm taking a risk. This might be my risk pick where I'm not 100% sure this is going to work out.
Yeah. And all I can really say with those is, cause, like, I have no issue if you want to take a risk pick, as long as you know that's what you're doing and that's your plan. Like, okay, this might blow up in my face. You just have to be willing to cut your losses.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to hold on to them. And that's the other thing, is it depends on your type of league, right? Because, like, if you're in, like, our home league, we don't have IR spots, anything like that. So if you have a player who's not eligible to play for 6 weeks, you're down a bench spot for 6 weeks.
Yes, of course. Well, IR spots are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. That's cheating.
That is a different conversation.
Well, if you have IR, if you have injured reserve spots on your lineup where it's like, oh, it doesn't count against him, whatever. Why not just make the rule when Isaiah Pacheco gets hurt, you automatically get Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, why don't you just make that rule? Like, to me, that makes the same amount of sense. If the player's hurt, okay, you can't control it. The player has COVID. The player gets arrested. Whatever. You can't control those things. That's part of the game, in my opinion. So, anyway, that's my quick thought on that.
All right. What I was driving at was, if you're winning for the first, like, let's say Rushy Rice gets a 6-week suspension somewhere down the line, whenever it is. Yeah,
something like that.
You take him as a risk pick. Maybe you're 4, maybe you're 3-0. You're looking good. You drafted well. You're probably okay to keep burning that bench spot until something goes wrong. You know, if you get an injury, whatever, you have to adapt. But if things keep going well, maybe you can ride it out and then you can wait and see. But maybe you're 0-3 to start. You need to make some moves and make some changes. And that probably means you need to get rid of him on your bench because you need that bench spot more than you need a player who's not going to be of use to you for at least another 3 weeks.
Right.
And that being said, even if you ride out the full 6 weeks and you keep him on your bench, if after I give it 2 weeks maximum, if after 2 weeks he still doesn't look good, you haven't got anything worthwhile, get rid of him. It's not worth keeping him on your bench for the rest of the season, tying up a roster spot for somebody who might never give you the value, or it might be you can't hold out hope for, oh, maybe by the time it gets to the playoffs, maybe by the time I get to the championship, he'll be good. You're just hurting yourself when you could probably get a better spot start option on your bench or pick up someone so that somebody else can't pick them up and use them against you. That's just my take on it. If you're going to take those risks, just be willing to cut your losses. Don't feel like you have to keep them on your team.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's probably the last time you're going to say that, at least for this episode.
Well, that's because you're ridiculous. So, and the trades you made this year in our home league were ridiculous. And frankly, I just think that some people in our league, instead of drafting a team, should just draft you a second team.
Just a farm team?
Yeah, just a farm team. I mean, they're going to trade you all the good players anyway. Like, why not just do that? And I don't, you know, people can make whatever moves, you know, they feel they want to make. But what doesn't make sense is when I see certain teams not trade all season and then trade with you really poorly. Like, it's as if there's so many teams waiting. You had at least 3 of them this year who are basically farm systems for you. And yeah, I don't get it. I don't get what the other people were thinking, because you wouldn't have taken that deal in reverse. So there you go.
Hey, it's all about how you view your team and your players, you know? And they didn't want to keep those players, so I took them off their hands. But let's dive into it. We're gonna go through all the trades in our home league. Some that involve both of us, some that don't, some that only involve one, and we're gonna grade them. So I guess we'll just start with the very first one, which was in week.
Just as a point of clarification.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Revealing, according to your list here, we are revealing that you or I are one of these teams, and then we're trading with someone, and we're not calling out on air any of these people to, I guess, protect them.
Correct. Yeah. It'll be team A and team B. And then if one of us is involved, we will tell you which side we were, if we were team A or team B.
I completely object to that, but let's move forward.
Well, we have volunteered to have ourselves put out in the public place. People in our league have not. If they want to write in after the fact and self-identify, then that is certainly up to them, and then you can bash them to your heart's content. But for now, we will go with that. Sound good?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think there's some level of, you know, you can say someone's name and no one knows what that name is. They all have generic names anyway.
Do you want to go with their team names? I don't remember any of the team names. And one of them changed, I think, 16, 17 times throughout the season.
You're one to talk. You're one to talk about changing team names.
Mine never changed.
I guess we could go with team names, but whatever. That doesn't matter. Fine, we'll just call it team whatever. Fine, we'll just go that route.
All right. So in week three, the first trade of the season, this one did involve me. Team A received wide receiver Courtland Sutton and running back Khalil Herbert in exchange for running back Breece Hall. And now I just want, before you jump in here, I just want to remind everyone
I haven't even said anything yet.
Just, I can already hear the gears spinning in your brain. I just want to remind everyone of what the Jets season looked like come week three of last year. What Breece Hall looked like. He had just put up, I think, a 2-point game, I think, the week before. I was being too generous. He had less than one fantasy point in week two. Aaron Rodgers is gone. The Jets look like their season is already done. Khalil Herbert and Courtland Sutton both hit the ground running, started the season. I made a trade of opportunity. And while Breece Hall did finish as the running back 4 on the season,
yeah,
he did not finish on my team as the running back 4. Just putting out that out there also.
Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, he had, I think, 3 or 4 double digit, like big, like he had 31 points in one game. Wasn't on my team when he did that.
You mean because you traded him later?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you bring up fine points, but the point I'm always going to say to you that you don't seem to understand, and this is what angers me about you, you can't get this through your thick skull. There are some players that are stars and better, and what you do is take advantage of people who know less than you and say, well, Breece Hall has a way better upside than Khalil Herbert, who's not even a football player anymore, and Courtland Sutton, who was traded 6 times in this league, I'm pretty sure. His name comes up so many times because he's not a good player, and you know that. And that's the difference. Yes, you're making a move of opportunity, but Breece Hall you would not have made this trade. You would not give up Breece Hall for Courtland Sutton and Khalil Herbert at this point in the season. You wouldn't have done that in reverse. You would never have done that. You would have kept Breece Hall because you knew he had that potential regardless. And when you lose a quarterback, a team's running game often gets better, not worse.
Yeah, but I still had to sit with them.
There you go.
Hang on. I still had to sit with them because guess what? The first week I had him, 2.7 fantasy points. Then we got 6.9. And then, yeah, okay, we got a couple of double digits. We got some 25s and some 15s. And then 6, 7.5, 13, 4.9, 4.5. So it was a bit of a roller coaster there. And the team that traded him away was not in a good position. I think they started 0-3 or 0-4. I can't remember if they ended up squeaking into the playoffs or just missed it. I think they were one of those teams.
I would tell you, but I don't know offhand which team this is. I didn't think to go back and look.
Oh, no? Okay. I know which team it is. I was involved in the trade, but they were one of the teams, the 4 or 5 teams that was fighting for the last playoff spot.
Okay, well, just throw it up in the chat.
Okay.
So no one else sees you and I, and then I'll tell you. And we're keeping this in the episode. Oh, no. Did not squeak a playoff spot. Just on the outside. Literally by the last game, you know?
Right. And they were fighting an uphill battle all season.
That's right. Yes.
I don't know that having Breece Hall on their team would have made a difference anyways.
No.
Because of how often...
That's the only reason I didn't grade this an F was because... Even if Breece Hall stayed on this team, I don't think it would have helped them. They had a rough year with some injuries and some issues at the beginning of the season. And the fact that you traded Breece Hall later and kind of moved on before he really hit his stride, I didn't grade this an F. At the time, I don't think I still would have graded it necessarily an F because I do think Courtland Sutton, as much as I don't like the whatever the team is, the Broncos, he's at least a flex pick where you can throw him in there and it's fine. And Herbert was doing okay at the time. And I get needing a shakeup, going 0-3 and needing a shakeup. I understand that, but still, it's a C minus.
Fair enough.
Question for you before we move on. Week 3 was the first deal in our league this year. Do you know what week our first deal was in the previous year?
I would assume it was week 1. It was you and me, wasn't it? It was before kickoff.
It was before week 1. It was right, it was before kickoff, because remember you and I had a troubling situation from our draft, and we had to like, we both were like, we're stupid. We're in trouble. We need to do something to fix this.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
I think it's the only trade we've ever made, isn't it?
No, you know, I think you and I made another trade.
We made other trades? Oh, I thought that was the only one we've ever made, and it was to get each other out of trouble.
Now that I say it, I can't think of another one, so maybe
I can't think of another trade. You know, I think that's the only trade you and I have ever made.
It's possible.
You very mutually beneficial. Like, very, we definitely negotiated, but I don't think we've ever got there. We've negotiated, we've gone back and forth, but the only trade we made was very much mutually beneficial to get us both out of trouble.
Yeah, that's fair. I do remember that. That was like hours, like, we put the trade through so that it would process hours before kickoff of
that's
the,
right. We
game,
had to do
the
it
opening.
By a time. Yeah, we had to do it by a certain time to get to opening because we needed to fix our roster. Because
they played the opening night.
Right? Like, it was exactly. We're like, if we don't make this deal, we don't put a team out. Like, we don't have a spot.
Oh, that was bad. Well, the second trade, also in week 3, also involved me. Team A received wide receiver Jacoby Myers, running back Tyler Algier, and Kenneth Walker III in exchange for wide receiver AJ Brown, wide receiver Marquise Brown, running back Joshua Kelly, and tight end Kyle Pitts. This was me trying to salvage my fantasy season after week 2 when Nick Chubb lost a leg, essentially.
You were in trouble. You were in trouble.
I was in trouble. I did not want to make this trade. I needed a running back. Kenneth Walker was good. He ended up being good. He didn't finish on my team either. But he got me through a tough spot. I gave up a lot to get him, though. I did not want to have to give up AJ Brown. He ended up having a great season, although that ended up working out for me, I guess, in the long run, because you ended up with AJ Brown, and it did not work out so well for you.
No. AJ Brown had such a great year and then just dudded for me at the end.
Yeah, That blew up in your face, unfortunately, and I guess saved me from in the long run. But it hurt. It did hurt to watch him take off like that after leaving my team. I was very upset, but I think that was a pretty even trade, all said and done. Like, Kenneth Walker helped me out. AJ Brown helped the other manager out.
He almost said. I think I agree. I think Kenneth Walker III, AJ Brown are relatively close in terms of their fantasy impact. AJ Brown at that time and within the season, I would give the edge to Marquise Brown, Jacoby Myers. I think that's relatively even. I think Tyler Algier is a better choice than Joshua Kelly, but then you also had to give up Kyle Pitts, who's really like just an unknown factor. Cause even at this point, I don't think we knew how bad that team was going to be.
No.
Good choices. So, yeah, I actually agree with you. I think this was a pretty fair deal. And I graded it an A because I think both of you got something out of it that you needed. And I do think even moving forward, because both parties traded a lot of these players later to get other assets, neither of you were like really hurt by it. And it really just addressed needs that you both had.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we're gonna have time to go through every single one, so
we need to skip to like ones you think are crucial players.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how in week 4 you acquired Saquon Barkley for Alexander Mattison and quarterback Mac Jones.
An absolute A+ baller deal for me, and I think that at the end of the day,
It was a great deal, showed my absolute skill and craftsmanship.
It was a D for a dud.
Well, okay, so let me, here, I'll put on my Josh hat for a second.
Well, you know, Saquon Barkley at the time was having a real rough go and was a real, you know, question mark. And Alexander Mattison, you know, was basically the number one running back there. And Mac Jones came off of 2 or 3 really good weeks, so it was an opportunistic trade.
See, the problem is I don't think either of those things happened.
Yeah, Mac Jones had a couple weeks in a row where he had a really good start. Mattison and Barkley were both not doing anything at the beginning of the year. But like, nothing.
I'm trying to... Oh, you made that trade with the Aaron Rodgers manager, didn't you?
That's correct. Yeah, because so Rodgers went down, and then the Aaron Rodgers manager had another quarterback that was doing nothing. So I offered, again, to be opportunistic, I said, Mac Jones just came off 2 really good weeks, which he did. He had 20-plus points 2 weeks in a row. Mattison...
No. He had 24 points in week one, and then he didn't score above 14 fantasy points until week 7.
What did he have in week 2?
13.
What did he have in week 3?
13.
Yeah, all right, so decent. So
week 4, the week you traded him, 0.7.
But I traded him before he played. So I offered Mac Jones and Alexander Mattison because I felt Mattison, yes, is not as good as Barkley. Barkley has way more upside. But Mattison and Barkley were an up and down situations. And then I threw Mac Jones in there. Do you want to know what this deal was at the beginning, Josh? Just sure. A little insight. Do you want to know what this deal was?
I would Saquon, love
it. Saquon Barkley for Trevor Lawrence. That's what this deal was at the beginning.
Honestly, I probably would have been less mad about that.
Oh, I mean, that would, to me, that's what I thought I'd have to give up. But it ended up being Mac Jones, Alexander Mattison for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, no, you got away with one there.
Yeah, A+, absolutely.
And then I want to talk about this next one just because of how much it angered you.
I'm still fuming about this.
All in all, I think this was a pretty... like an A caliber trade, just in terms of it benefited both sides.
You mean in terms, if you just take the players?
Yeah. Then just in terms of that. Yes. Yeah.
Then yes.
I received Kelvin Ridley from another team who received Brian Robinson in return. And now this was sent to me unprompted. I remember I'm pretty sure I woke up and it was after I went to a wedding the night before and I woke up the next morning and I checked my phone. And I had a trade offer. And I looked at it and I said, yeah, okay. Like I did my due diligence, like made sure Kelvin Ridley hadn't been hit by a car or something that morning. And I was like, okay. And then the trade goes through and I get this angry text from you accusing me of essentially insider trading with the other manager. And I have no idea what is happening. Little do I know, apparently you have been negotiating for this player for like a week.
The better part of a week.
The other manager was so firm on, I am not trading this player no matter what.
That is what the manager told me. I am not trading Kelvin Ridley. I was looking for a wide receiver. I also had potentially running back to move because I was getting Barkley and I thought I could move on from another running back. So I was offering, making offers. He said, without a doubt, I will not move on Kelvin Ridley. He's off the table. Do you want to talk about anybody else? Which ended up prompting my next week's trade. Like the reason why what happened in my trade next week had more to do with the fact that I couldn't get the job done here. Like I had to make other moves. Like I started to make other deals and other deals and other deals to like try to fill my lineup up. And it was just like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe when this trade happened because this whole time he said, no, I will not trade it. And then I woke up, not from a wedding, just, you know, by myself. And I said, I can't believe this happened. I'm so mad at Josh right now.
And I was the innocent victim in all of this. I had no idea.
For the first time in your life, for the first time in your life in fantasy football, you were innocent. And do you remember, I didn't believe you for like
weeks. You did not. No. You did not at all. And unfortunately, there was nothing I could do really to because him and I hadn't even like he hadn't even emailed me, texted me, anything, but like, would you want this deal? He just cold called me with this trade through the app.
That's the part of it I still don't believe. Like, I wouldn't be mad if you were just negotiating and didn't know that he said this and just made him a deal, and he, for whatever reason, he wanted Brian Robinson. I wouldn't have been like, I'd be less mad. I'd still be mad, but less mad. But the fact that you keep claiming it was out of nowhere is ridiculous, especially now that you have this whole story. I don't know.
I genuinely think he did it to spite you. I genuinely think that's what happened.
I mean, I was sending him a lot of offers, but and he, you know, wouldn't really like move.
I think,
said he wasn't going to trade him.
Yeah, and then I think he just said, you know what, I am going to trade him, and I'm going to get something for him, and just to spite Mike. And I think that's exactly what happened.
If I look at it objectively, Brian Robinson is not a bad pickup, and I get, especially for what the team is doing, he had a lot of wide receivers. I get what the deal was. I understand, because I was negotiating the same way. But I just don't understand why what I was offering was definitely at least comparable to Brian Robinson, if not better. But comparable at bare minimum.
Well, I don't... I still don't know what to tell you. But I wish... honestly, if I could go back, I would have undone that trade, because Brian Robinson ended up doing okay. But yeah, whatever. You ended up getting James Cook in exchange for Christian Kirk and Damian Pierce.
Yeah, I had to pivot. So I tried to address my running back situation, because I think at this time, I don't remember offhand what was going on with Saquon Barkley, but I still think I was concerned that I didn't have enough in the running room. So I acquired James Cook, and I had to give up Christian Kirk, who I didn't want to move off of, because I thought if Lawrence is ever going to snap out of it, I have Lawrence and Kirk. And that's going to be a good combo, but I had to move on from him in order to get James Cook. So,
yeah, and that was a decent enough trade.
And I will say, you know, I traded Cook later, but I will say when I had him, he did bring some benefit. But I do like Christian Kirk, and again, it's Trevor Lawrence was my biggest issue. I have so much to say. I don't know if we're ever going to do an episode where we can just like bash our teams, but I had such an issue with Trevor Lawrence this year.
Yeah, that's fair. He let you down. Moving on to week 5, wide receivers, Jacoby Myers and Tank Dell in exchange for Travis Etienne, with my team receiving Travis Etienne.
Absolutely.
I don't think you can say...
That's a fleece job.
I don't think so, with how well Tank Dell was doing.
Fleece job.
I don't think it's... I think, sure, it was a bit more one-sided just because of how many touchdowns Travis Etienne was impossibly scoring. Right. I don't think a fleece job in terms of how well Tank Dell ended up doing until he got hurt. That's my opinion, but...
Tell you.
Okay. We had the Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow trilogy trade. So just for context, Joe Burrow was essentially a pylon for the Bengals in terms of fantasy value going into week 5, in case you cannot recall. And Patrick Mahomes was doing all right, doing his usual thing. And so we see this trade go through with one of our newer members in the league and one of our original members in the league. And... we assumed that the original player was getting fleeced, and we were all very quick to point that out. And then the trade goes through, and then is immediately reversed, and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow switch back and go back to the original teams. And okay, and then we fast forward to week 7, and they make the trade. Okay, and this was the part that I never understood, was it was Joe Burrow and Kendre Miller in exchange for Patrick Mahomes, but then the makeup trade was only Mahomes and Burrow, and we just forgot all about Kendre Miller. And then when they made the trade again in week 7, it was Mahomes and Tyler Conklin in exchange for Joe Burrow and Tyler Higbee. And none of it made sense, because I'm pretty sure the team getting Joe Burrow already had 3 quarterbacks. It was just all over the place in terms of going on there, but it was a source of entertainment, I will say. But I do have to backtrack a bit there now, because I know, Mike, you didn't like this trade either at the time. So in week 7, I received Jalen Hurts in exchange for Travis Etienne and quarterback Josh Dobbs.
Right. Right. Yeah. So Josh Dobbs isn't a quarterback. Opportunistic as he is, he's not anything. Jalen Hurts is like, you could make
it. Well, hang on now, because he is for 3 weeks at a time. But 3 weeks at a time, he's a top five
doesn't
quarterback.
Matter. You're not drafting Josh Dobbs.
No. But if you have him for those 3 weeks, you're winning your weeks, and then you just need to get rid of him, because then he's going to do nothing. You got to capitalize on those first 3 weeks.
If you had given up Travis Etienne and some other serviceable player for Jalen Hurts, then it's a fair deal. Otherwise, it's a fleece job. Etienne, as I said to you before, and even in having him in
the fantasy, RB3.
Yeah, opportunistically, he ended up eventually getting there. But he's not Jalen Hurts.
But the manager who had Jalen Hurts also had Jared Goff. So they were not, who at that point, they were equal in terms of their fantasy scoring. So it for them, they chose the one that they preferred out of the two. They preferred to have Goff.
And a more experienced manager would have said, I'm keeping Hurts and I'll give you Goff if you really want.
I mean, they only finished 50 points apart.
Doesn't matter.
Which is a big enough, but at the same time, like, that's the difference between third and seventh. And then they got the RB3 in exchange. So they got the RB3 in exchange for the QB3. They still had a top 10 QB. And then they got a backup QB to replace Hurts. And
they didn't get a backup QB. Come on.
For three weeks.
But yeah. Well, okay. How long is the season? 17 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, math boy, what percentage is that?
Technically, he had two different 3 week periods because he got cut and then he joined another team.
Yeah, he got cut. You get a player who got caught for a time, had no team to play on.
All right. Moving on. You got yourself in the position of having both Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. And so you moved on from that to acquire Brock Purdy in exchange for running back Devon Achane. You took my advice, even though you still deny it to this day.
I didn't take your advice, no.
Yeah, whatever.
Taking your advice. Yeah, this is another thing. I'm not even going to start with you. We don't have time for this.
Yeah, okay. We're running out of time, so we got to keep going. Mike, who, even though he had issues with Travis Etienne, acquires Travis Etienne and Chris Olave in exchange for Raheem Mostert and DK Metcalf. And then when I pointed out the hypocrisy of it, I was ignored.
My intention was to acquire a running back that I personally didn't like, which sometimes I do this, but they have a high enough rank and they score enough that I might be able to turn them into something else, which is what I did. Took me a while to do it, but I did it. I wanted to do it faster than that. I'll admit that it took me a while, but because you get to negotiate with everyone and they say, of course, Josh, take everything I have. And people negotiate with me and say, you can have this crumb. Maybe if you beg really hard and work really hard, you can have this crumb.
Really? You want to talk about Isaiah Pacheco in exchange for the Jaguars defense?
For every Isaiah Pacheco in exchange for the Jaguars defense deal, you can point out there's two of those for you.
All right.
This year, I finally did some morally questionable things and really went for it because I was going to take you down, and I was watching the trade market and I was trying to wheel and deal, and I was trying to acquire things, and I was trying to compete with you, all to lose in the first round. We know what happened. We understand the script. We're all here for it. But yeah, in terms of my deal for Pacheco, fine. I'll give you that. I wouldn't have made that deal. Absolutely not. But the Travis Etienne thing, it was about acquiring someone that I thought Mostert was going to drop off. I really did. I didn't want to give up DK Metcalf, but that was the price.
In terms of just player for player, absolutely an A, that deal. It was just the hypocrisy of it.
But again, the hypocrisy wouldn't have been so bad if I got what I wanted to. I thought I had a deal in place to move ATN almost right away and get something else, but it did not happen.
Didn't work out.
You want to talk about fleece jobs before we leave, because I'm not letting you get away with this.
I'm not letting you get away with this until Cooper Kupp and Bijan Robinson suddenly end up on your team. Absolutely ridiculous, especially considering the deal that this particular team made earlier that like hurt and ruined and maybe even destroyed their season, which we skipped over because it doesn't involve us, so we can't yell at each other as much. But the deal that sent Puka Nacua packing was just a terrible deal.
Well, that was before he fully broke out, and Davante Adams hadn't hit his slump. Looking back, yeah, obviously keeping Puka would have been better. But at the time, I think it was a pretty even trade because they also had Cooper Kupp, and you don't want to have two receivers on the same team. That's not just not good practice.
Yes, according to you. And then guess what? They moved Kupp later for literally nothing.
Yeah, looking back, they should have moved Kupp in exchange for Adams and then probably kept Nacua, and we wouldn't be having this conversation, but that's not what happened. But they got T. Higgins and they got Kenneth Walker, and this was before Bijan decided to do something on the football field. Let's just keep that in mind.
Well, but we know Bijan's talent. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
If you make
but
deals.
It was hit and miss for a while.
You basically acquire Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady when they're in slumps. And for some reason, our league doesn't understand that there are certain star caliber players that, regardless of how poorly they're playing, hold on to them. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it happens every single year, and it's always you. If I had offered any of these deals to people, I would not get them. It wouldn't happen.
So what are we saying? Like a B minus?
No, my God. It's an absolute, like, maybe I'll give you it's a D and maybe a C minus, because I could understand that Kenneth Walker, I do think he was having a good year. He's a good, serviceable running back. I can understand why someone would look there and be like, Bijan is having such a rough year. He's up and down. I would rather have Walker the third. I could understand that. I'm sorry, with everything that happened with Burrow and we brought up, T. Higgins is nothing. Kyler Murray is so questionable that you're picking up Kyler Murray. There are so many better quarterbacks out there to get you out of a quarterback slump if you need someone else. That's just a throw-in player that's absolutely not necessary. Maybe I'll give you a C-minus because Kenneth Walker is not horrible. You acquired a fantasy top 10, 5 wide receiver most of the years. Quality-wise is there. Bijan Robinson, we know he's a 7'6", 8". Like, he's in and around there. You acquired two amazing players. I could never pull off a deal like that. And that's my problem. Mic drop.
Now, just to remind you, Cooper Kupp was the wide receiver 41 this year. So, not a top 10 player, it turns out. Top 10 quality, but not this year. And then real quick, we'll just skip down to the trades that cemented our seasons. You made the trade for AJ Brown. You gave up Christian Kirk, Jordan Addison, and Travis Etienne, who all did much better in the playoffs than AJ Brown. Maybe not Christian Kirk, but Etienne and Addison both did. Whereas I traded away Jalen Hurts for Dak Prescott and Tyreek Hill for CeeDee Lamb, and that stack carried me to the championship and beyond into the glory of having three-peats.
Yep, and that's, If people don't make trades like that with you, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but they do.
I mean, those were even trades.
No.
Top quarterbacks for top quarterbacks, top receiver for top receiver. But
Nope.
All right. Well, that is all that we have time for this week. Next week, we're going to be looking back at the 2023 rookies in honor of the 2024 NFL draft at the end of the month. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Take care and stay safe.